Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you this morning. Those that are online, it's good to be with you online. And for those of us that are here, good to be with you. Okay, so I need you to put on your seatbelts this morning because we're going to go for a ride today in probably some of the most amazing teachings of Jesus. Stand with me, if you would. We're going to read from the Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We're going to go slow. I need you to... My students had to memorize these verses when I taught at Biola. The Holy Scripture says this: since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Father, we pray that You would open our eyes today that we might see Jesus more clearly. I pray, Lord, that You would open our ears, that we would hear what the Almighty God would have to say to us today. Lord, we have gathered in this room. We gather here today with the purpose to worship God in spirit and in truth. We come to learn. We come to grow. We come, God, just to be at the feet of Jesus. So, Jesus, send Your Spirit upon us, I pray. And, Lord, help the individual that's behind the pulpit today to speak clearly and without error. And, Lord, may this always and forever be done for the kingdom of Jesus and no one else. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Y'all may be seated. It's good to be with you today. It's good to gather and worship with Jesus today. And so, okay, so some of you have been asking me, you know, how's my son doing? So probably maybe many of you know, my middle son, Jordan, is a police officer in the city of San Diego, in the city, not the county. And he went through his academy, and starting two weeks ago, he began his FTO training, field officer training. So what happens is a person's kind of trained, like, theoretically, and then they get this practical experience in the field where a police officer rides with him, and it's called FTO, and he has to pass all this and that and the other. So, you know, thank you for praying for him, and please continue to pray for him. And some of you have been asking, how's he doing? Well, one of his first call-outs 2 weeks ago was on a suicide. So one of his brand new, you know, first off the press, and he rolls up, and they got a call-out, and this person had committed suicide. And then, and every day I've been calling him. So I'm a police chaplain in the city of Irvine. So I'm just checking on him. What'd you see today, Jordan? How you doing? You taking Jesus with you today? You taking Jesus with you today? He's averaging seeing one dead body a week so far. You guys, you will never understand what a policeman does unless you do it yourself. You'll just never get it. The things that they see and go through in their profession. God bless people that want to do this. Do I hear an amen? Our society needs good police officers. And yes, there's good ones and bad ones. All of them, they have to fight to keep from getting jaded because they see the worst of humanity. We will never understand. Can I encourage you, when you see a policeman in our city, would you please tell him thank you? Because it really means a lot to them. When you see them, just tell them thank you. Appreciate what they're doing. Because honestly, we will never totally get it unless you see it and ride with them. So, FYI, some people say that they'll never understand a pastor's job unless you do that. And that's probably true too. Has anyone in here ever had someone try to put a curse on them before? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? So Pastor Frank Young, I was a college pastor at my old church in Mission Viejo, and I was running a college group while I was going to Talbot Seminary. And so I was newly married to Cinda, and you know, everything's going great. We had a group of college students I get to shepherd and be a part of as I was going through seminary. It's kind of like my FTO, as I'm learning things theoretically as well. And our senior pastor, Pastor Jay, who's Texan, he says, Frank, I got to tell you that someone's going to be coming to your group on Friday, and they're not a Christian. Well, their family goes to our church, and she's just kind of the prodigal daughter. I said, Pastor, you know, Jay, great, we'll welcome her. We're glad she's come. Let her come. So she shows up. She's pregnant. She might be 20, maybe. And just nice, you know, and she begins telling everybody that she's a white witch. That she's a white witch. And, you know, I'm not a black witch. I'm a white witch. Like, these are bad witches, but I'm a good witch. And the person that she's impregnated with was some warlock. She lived up in the, I think it was Oregon area, kind of like the Shirley MacLaine crystals, New Age stuff. Does anyone, okay, welcome to, you know. So I'm now the shepherd of this group, and I'm starting to talk with this girl, and she's telling me about, you know, how they don't believe in Christianity, and I'm, you know, enlightened and new-aged, and I'm looking for friends, and she starts telling me about her spirit guide named Maggie. There's another realm. Ask, you know, people that have been born and raised in other cultures understand spiritual warfare. And there are other dimensions and other realms, and I think sometimes we in the Western world just, it's so foreign to us. But she begins talking about Maggie, and I made her mad, because I began telling her, I said, you know, the spirit, so she hears a voice in her head. She summons some spirit to come into her life. And according to her, she could hear this spirit speak to her just as I'm speaking to you today. And she's convinced that this spirit is a good spirit. And she's a good witch. And I began explaining to her that there are only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness. And there's the kingdom of light. There is no in-between. And the spiritual experiences that she's having is not of the kingdom of light, but of darkness. And I told her, this spirit that you're listening to is a demon. And she got mad at me. And she said that she was going to cast a spell on me. Should I be afraid? Why? Should I be afraid? If someone says they're going to cast a spell on me, should I be afraid? 2,000 years ago, there was a great Pharisee named Saul who was one who was persecuting the followers of Jesus until one day he had a radical transformation as he met Jesus Christ himself. And his Greek name is Paul. Paul Saul. Paul became one of the driving forces of the Jesus movement in the first century. Paul went all over the Roman world preaching Jesus as the Christ, the prophesied one, the Son of the living God. Paul went everywhere, and he lost everything to proclaim Christ. And he was such an interesting individual. We've talked about him in the past. But finally, he was a Roman citizen. He was arrested. And he was waiting trial in Rome. And as he's in Rome under house arrest, he hears about a church in Turkey at a place called Colossae and all these young new Christians that have come to faith in Jesus. And he picks up his pen and he writes them a letter. And his letter is in your Bible, the book of Colossians. It is a personal letter to some degree, even though I think he intended it to be circular. Please read it to other churches. But in it, he begins writing to these young Christians, and he tells them how happy he is to hear of their faith, that they haven't missed Jesus like he had done all this time. He writes and tells them how he's happy to hear of their faith and love and the hope that they have that's springing from their hope in heaven. And he begins telling these young Christians that he's praying for them. And he's praying that they have knowledge of Jesus, but they would grow deeper in their knowledge of Jesus. And not only does Paul pray for them, But he begins unpacking Jesus for him in the book of Colossians. Theologians love this book. My seminary loved Colossians. They made us read it really slow. Paul begins unpacking the person of Jesus. He begins describing Jesus as the image of the invisible God, that he is the firstborn in rank over all creation because he created all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus created everything. And actually, in him, all things hold together. He is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. In Jesus is all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Mysteries of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in this person of Jesus. When you read his letter from this flow, we come to the words that he's speaking here in Colossians chapter 3. As the mind of the Apostle Paul takes his readers on a journey, and he finally ends with this crescendo of Christology. It's kind of like the 4th of July. When you see a fireworks show and at the very end they just let the fireworks all go? That's what this text is like. As Paul's been unpacking Jesus and praying that these people would know Jesus deeper, he comes to these words. And let me read it again. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Why? For you died, and your life is now hidden. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, okay? Not your car, not your job, not your 401k, not your citizenship. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. That's the resurrection, right? This is a huge theological truth that Paul is teaching these young believers at Colossae. And it's a theological truth that we need to understand in the 21st century. It's a positional truth of a believer's identity and authority in Christ. Our positional truth of who we are, our positional identity and authority of who we are as a child of God. Paul had already stated in the first chapter that there's this mystery. He goes, I've come to declare the mystery to you, that the Messiah is not just for Jews, but for Gentiles, and the Messiah dwells in you. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Did you know that Jesus, the day when all of you accepted Christ, he actually came and dwelt inside of you? Does that sound weird? Talk about intimacy. I mean, if you're talking about human sexuality, it's intimacy. God, the Spirit of the living God, dwelling inside of you. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. You need to be born again, born anew, born of the Spirit. The Scripture says that your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you're a child of God, that Jesus came to dwell within you. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed with the promise. The Spirit of God, see, you're a spiritual being. You're a spirit being. Though you have soul and flesh, you're a spirit being. You have an eternal soul in you. God's eternal spirit dwells within you. Christ dwells within you, the hope of glory. It's a theological truth. There are so many mysteries of Jesus and you that you need to try to figure out on your journey. It's incredible. So Jesus is in you, okay? And where is Christ? Jesus is in you, and where is Christ right now? Colossians 1:3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Christ is in heaven. What Paul is teaching these young believers at Colossae is that Christ is seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of God the Father, and that is a place of supreme privilege and divine authority. There's something about understanding that if you sat at the right hand of some ruler or king, that was a place of supreme privilege and authority. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, a place of supreme privilege and authority, divine authority. Jesus is there. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? You're here, aren't you? Yes? If you're here, raise your hand. You're here, right? Where are you? Theologically, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places in Jesus. It's a mystery. Right now, your spirit, though you are here, there's some mystic union between you and Jesus that wherever He is, you are, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Christ is in you, and you are in Him who is your life. And since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It's a theological truth. It's interesting. The book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians are like cousins. When Paul wrote the Colossians, he wrote Ephesians as well. And you can see so many themes within these two letters that Paul wrote to two different geographical churches. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Check this out. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loves us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And, listen to this, and raised us up with Him, past tense. He's already raised us up with Him. And He has seated us with Him, past tense, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How does that work? Seated where? In the heavenlies. In Christ. Picture heaven and you see God the Father and God the Son. You open up like an unpacked Revelation chapter 4 when John begins describing the throne of God. You see the Father, you see the Son. Do you see anyone else? In Christ, you're there. Positionally as a child of God. You are seated with Christ, for you are in Him and He is in you, who is your life. If you're going to take a notes with me this morning, here's note number one. Note number one, Christ is seated at the right hand of God and we are seated with Him. Really? Yep, it's just a mystery. We are seated with Him, a place of supreme privilege and divine authority. And this is a theological truth to be understood. It's just one of the many mysteries of being a believer, a child of God. And brothers and sisters, this concept is huge. They beat this into our heads at Talbot Theological Seminary when I was a student there so long ago. Especially they beat this into our heads as I was taking a class called, Spiritual Conflicts and Biblical Counseling with Dr. Neil Anderson. We spent a whole semester talking about how do you deal with people that have demonic issues and the spiritual realm. And it was a very interesting class, okay? How do you deal with fallen spirits or demons? And will we, you know? And what's the theology of it all? They told us that we need to memorize Luke 10, 17 through 20 in seminary. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, "Behold, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I have given you power and authority to tread upon the serpent and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that you have power over the demons, but rejoice that your name is recorded in heaven." A good verse to memorize. See, Christ gives us power and authority. And where do we get this? In Christ, in Him. We are positionally seated with Christ right now in the heavenly realm at the right hand of God, the Father of authority. And because of this, we can engage in the enemy of the kingdom of darkness as children of the light. As Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, that He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His Son, in which we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And if this is all true, what I've just said to you, and it is, should I be afraid of a white witch trying to cast a spell on me? No. I'm going to cast a spell on you. I was actually taking this class when this was going on. So after about a week or so, she comes up to me and she says, "I don't understand why my spells aren't working on you." She was angry. And her spirit guide is angry at me and doesn't want her coming to this group anymore. Stay away from them. And I told this young lady, "The reason why your spells aren't working on me is because I'm a child of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am of the kingdom of light, and you have no power over me, for I'm a child of God." And I gave her a sermon that I'm giving you, that I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And because of this, as a child of God, there are certain privileges that we have. Do you realize this? God, help us to understand, help us to go deep in who we are. As a child of God, one who's been redeemed and forgiven from the cross, your name is recorded in heaven. How does that make you feel? See, it's important to know this. See, it's greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4, right? Paul says, this is important to know, young Christians at Colossae. Know Jesus deeper. Be rooted in Jesus. Colossians 3 is the Christology crescendo. It's the 4th of July. It's just this. And he just builds to this. And he's in heaven. And as Paul is building up Jesus, he begins building us up too and saying, you are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. This is who Jesus of Nazareth is. He's the incarnate, He's God in human flesh, and this is who He is, and He's brought you up to be with Him as a child of God. It's the crescendo of the letter. It's good stuff, friends. It's radically practical, actually. Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ, that is to be a truth to be understood. You've been raised with Christ. Stir that in your mind. Since you have been raised with Christ, do what? Okay, if this is true, then what do I do? Set your hearts on things above. Set your heart on things above, where Messiah or Christ is seated at the right hand of God. To set the heart means to seek. I'm setting the course. It's like a rudder. I set your heart on things above. It's something you're aiming to do. It's an attitude, an ambition, a desire. I'm setting my heart on things above. This is where I'm moving towards. I choose to lift my mind toward heaven. Set your mind, its course set. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Take notes with me this morning. Colossians 3:1 tells us to seek heaven. Since this is true, seek heaven. Set your course toward the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Take note with me this morning. Colossians 3:1 tells us to seek heaven, to aim, to move towards. See, whatever you focus on is what you will move towards. He's telling us to focus our thoughts to these incredible mysteries of Christ. See, what are you seeking and what are you moving towards? See, because whatever you focus on is what you will move towards. He's telling, aim heaven. Colossians 3:1-2. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. It's a theological truth, just that's a truth. Okay, since this is true, what? Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind means to think an inner disposition, to dwell, to meditate, to think, to stir in, to set your mind on these intellectual, these theological truths and let them stir into you. Take notes with me this morning. Colossians 3:2 tells us to think heaven. Seek heaven and think heaven because you are in Christ. Seek heaven, think heaven. For us that have become believers or receivers or followers of Jesus, there are friends, you've been forever changed in ways you will have no idea until you're finally there. But we see and understand everything differently in the light and against the backdrop of eternity. Once we're a child of God, everything changes. Our whole worldview changes. We begin to see everything differently than we used to before in the backdrop of eternity. Seek these things. Think on these things. Brothers and sisters, what is the majority of your thoughts on? What is the majority of your thoughts on? Things of this world? The news is depressing. Have you read it lately? Haiti. I've been to Haiti. We as a church built a freshwater well in the city of Hench. Did you know that most children die in the world because they don't have clean drinking water? In Haiti, they didn't have clean drink. We as a church got together and we put our monies together and we paid for a freshwater well in Haiti, and a group of us went down with Pastor Frank. During the last earthquake, we went down there right after the last earthquake in Haiti that decimated the place, and it happened again. And I'm thinking about those poor people as they're digging out. Their construction codes are not very good and their bald buildings just collapsing on themselves. The death toll's horrendous. And I'm thinking about my brothers and sisters in the city of Hench, who I know, and I can. We worshipped with them, and we built a freshwater well in that city. Afghanistan. So as we speak now, you know, this whole country's a mess, and the Taliban is invading. And I think of the poor people that are going to be oppressed, the women that are going to be oppressed, as people who take Islam literally will be running the country once again and murdering many people in the name of God. It breaks your heart, doesn't it? Where is your thoughts? What do you put the majority of your thoughts on? COVID-19, politics? You do stuff like this, we get anxiety and we get fear and we get worry. All the things in the media are negative. Do you think it was any different in the first century? When you read the news, the Rome Tribune, and what's going on in the Roman Empire and this sect, Paul is in a prison in Rome saying, you are seated with Christ. Jesus has taken you above this world, and you are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Aim your thoughts toward heaven and dwell on heaven. Seek heaven and think heaven. Be rooted in Christ and who you are. Try to stir in these fabulous mysteries about what Jesus has done for you and who you are as a child of God. You do this and people, you will find peace in Christ. Peace not that this world gives, as Jesus said. My peace I give to you, not that the world gives, but I give to you. See, from this altitude, we find the foundation to engage back into the world in which we live. From this altitude and realizing who we are as a child of God, we have this foundation. Jesus says, he who hears these words of mine and thinks upon them is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And then when the storms of life come, he will survive because he's built his house on me and my teachings. From this altitude of who we are as a child of God, we re-engage into the world we are from a different perspective, from an eternal perspective. From this we know how to pray for Haiti and how to pray for Afghanistan and how to pray for people in the hospital with COVID. Always from this foundation of who we are as children of God. How are we doing? You doing okay? Am I boring you here? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. You're dead. And your life is now hidden with Jesus in the Father. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Eternity. Brothers and sisters, memorize these verses. My students had to. Brothers and sisters, seek heaven and think heaven. Stir in heaven. It's like you take these theological truths. Everybody loves chocolate milk, right? You all love chocolate milk, don't you? Don't you love chocolate milk? You take chocolate milk. You take milk and you put some chocolate in it. Are you done? No. You have to stir it in before you drink it. Anybody who grabs milk and just puts chocolate in it and doesn't stir it in is a fool. Anyone who's a connoisseur of chocolate milk, you stir it in before you drink it. These truths, you have to stir these in your life of who you are. Who you are. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is who you are. 100 years from now, your identity is not your profession. 100 years from now, it won't matter what car you're driving or how much money you got in the bank or where you live, where you grew up, what you did. All of that, it's who you are in Christ that matters. Everything else passes away. You stir in who I am as a child of God and then you live your life. See, God is in heaven. Christ is in heaven. Angels, they're in heaven. And you're in heaven. Right now, by some mystery in Christ, you've been spiritually raised up. Christ has taken you above this place. The book of Colossians is the building up of Christ. And in chapter 3, we are built up with him. He is in us, and we are in him, a child of God. It's the mystery. If you're going to take notes with me, here's your fourth note. Note number 4. The supreme reality of your existence is your union with Christ. That's a theological truth. You should write that down. The supreme reality of your existence is your union with Christ. Do you understand this, Christian? Do you understand this, child of God? Because this is true. Here's the heavenly presupposition, the big one. This is who you are. And since all this is true, how should you live your life in this world? If what I just told you today is true, how should you then live your life in this world? Has anyone ever ridden, do you like riding roller coasters? Okay. So Magic Mountain, so when Pastor Frank, I came here as a youth pastor here for 12 years, and well, every year when the kids got out of high school, or when they got out of school, I took them to, we called it Kickback, we took them to Magic Mountain. So if you like roller coasters, that's where you want to go. Anyone like roller coasters? Does anyone remember Colossus? Colossus was the biggest wooden roller coaster in the world. It's now been burnt, it's gone. But is anyone ever remember riding Colossus? My wife has a great story of someone coaxing her into riding it, and she's like, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, I don't want to go, and she went. When you sit in this thing, it's rickety, click, 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 and you lock in, and all of a sudden, you're riding up this roller coaster, and it's slowly bringing you up in altitude. I think I got a picture of Colossus. Do I got a picture? There it is. It's a small little roller coaster. It's all wood. It caught on fire, and fire doesn't do well with wood. It's gone, but man, it was great. Wally World, do you remember Clark Griswold and Wally World, they went to, they, you know, it was in a movie. When you're riding Colossus and it's just taking you forever and it keeps raising you up, and you're getting taller. If you have fear of heights, it's you. Because by the time you get to the top of this thing, you are looking out over everything. And then it finally lets you go. Whoosh. And you hold on tight. When I read Colossians, I read like as Paul is just clanking us up. Clank, 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 clank. He's describing Jesus. He's describing the nature and the person, the being of Christ and who this person is. And he's taking us with him. And as at the very end, he hits Colossians 3. And it's like, and you are hidden. Your life is hidden with Christ in the heavenly places. He's taken you up theologically up to these truths that are absolutely incredible. And then when he gets you up to the top, he says, and because all this is true, how should you now live your life on planet Earth? Whoosh. Go live your life. Go live your life in this reality of who you are as a child of God. And hold on tight. Right? See, since this is true, how should we live our life? Listen to Paul's letter. And I'm just going to read it to you. It's like, here it is. Since this is true, Colossians 3, 5 through 11, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, kill it. Impurity, kill it. Lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. It's not you anymore. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. It's not who you are anymore. Do not lie to each other. You're not a liar anymore. You're a child of God. Quit lying, right? Since you've taken off your old self, see, this is your old world. Since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is Jesus, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. I'm learning these new things. I'm chocolate milking it, right? Here, there's no Greek. There's no Jew. There's no circumcised. There's no uncircumcised. There's no barbarian or Scythian or slave or free. There's no prejudice. There's no racism. But Christ is all and is in all. We're one people. Period. See, since you're seated with Christ, it's already done, and you believe it, and then you live it out. It's like taking off your old clothes. I'm not wearing these anymore. I'm putting on new clothes. I'm taking off worldly clothes. Everything that was just described to you is worldly. It's not Jesus. And you used to live in this way, but now you're a child of God. So now you enter into this journey of saying, I'm taking off these old clothes, and I've got new clothes to put on, because I'm a child of God, right? New heavenly armor, new heavenly clothes. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, hello, that's you. Holy, did you know you're holy? Jesus has made all of you holy. And you're dearly loved. Did you know God the Father dearly loves you so much? He gave his one and only Son to die on a cross for you. since you are holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You bear people's sins and you forgive them for it. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Think heaven, seek heaven. If you do this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Does the peace of Christ rule in your heart? Those that seek heaven and think heaven, the peace of Christ rules in their heart, even when they're on their deathbed, breathing their lasts, as I've seen many. It is God's will. People excited for the journey to go, even there. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Don't forget to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's the chocolate milk. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God, I love singing in the presence of the believers. I see the Lord high and lifted up. We sang it right before the message. Some of you might remember the L.A. Coliseum with 80,000 men singing that song a cappella was awesome. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'll probably never get to hear that again until I'm in heaven with all the angelic beings ever. Let the Word of God richly dwell within you as you encourage one another, admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing psalms, that's the psalms. Hymns are like other songs written of Christ. Psalms is the Old Testament psalms. And then what is hymns? They're just new songs being written to God. And spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Old clothing and new clothing. Complete opposites. See, we used to be this, but now we're this because of Jesus. And now we live our lives differently as we put on the Jesus clothing of love and compassion and kindness and forgiveness. And we now put on new clothes as we now engage in life. Because all this is true, because our life is hidden with Christ in God, this is now our outward expression in your daily living to the deep experience that is yours in Christ on earth today. Because of Jesus, my life is changing. See, our Christian life is hidden in Jesus. It's to be lived out now on earth. Come back to earth and live it out in earth. Live it out in your human relationships. Colossians 3:18 through 23. Wives, submit to your husbands and as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your masters, your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Just live out your life. And there's so much there. How you doing? Who are you? Who are you? My professor, he told me a story. he gave me a story, and it stuck with me forever. Dr. Anderson, he said, okay, guys, how many of you, he asked us in our one day in seminary, in our classes, he goes, tell me what your first jobs were. Well, my first job was watering plants at my dad's office in Big Bear. I think I got 25 cents an hour. Do you think it was shortchanging me? Everybody went around and sharing. Does anyone work at McDonald's? And a few couple people. Did anyone work at McDonald's for your first job? Anyone had that opportunity? A few of you maybe? All right. So imagine this. Here you are working at McDonald's one day, and it's not your first job. You've been there for 15 years, and now this is your career. And you're kind of bummed and sad because this is my life, right? You're just scraping along, and one day, a limousine pulls out in front of McDonald's, and out of this limousine comes out a bunch of security guards and a bunch of people, and pretty soon you notice the royal family comes out of the limousine and walks into your McDonald's, and everybody's like, whoa, what's up with this? They walk right up to you, they look at you, and they say, you are a child of the royal family. You've been lost, and now you've been found, and you are now a part of the royal family, and we have found you. You're a child of the king. And this kid's sitting there with his McDonald's hat on and his apron. You're a child of the king. Come with us. And just at that moment, your boss in the back says, quit talking to them and start frying those fries. What would you do? Would you go back and boiled fries? Anyone? In an instant, your life has been changed. You have a whole new God, a whole new reality of your being. You're a child of royalty. You're a child of the king. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say to these young Christians at Colossae, that they are now new. Their life is to be lived differently, for the King of Glory has come into their life, and they are now a child of God, and they are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms of all power and authority. And thus is with you. You are unique and special. You are of great value and worth in the eyes of your Creator, so much so that Jesus would come to earth and die on a cross for your sins. He comes to die and pays your debt so you won't have to. You have been holy and made clean because of Jesus. Your identity is hidden in the one who hung on the cross for you. You die with him and now you live with him. Your life is now hidden with the person who hung on the cross for you. The hope of glory. How you feeling? Last verse. Paul said this to the church in Rome. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to, that what he means is chocolate milk. You need to stir in who Christ is. You guys need to really memorize the book of Colossians. You need to take every truth of the book of Colossians and stir it deep within you. All these great truths. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Friends, you are seated with Christ, a place of supreme privilege and authority as a child of God. And because all that is true, how should you live your life today? Take off your old clothes. Put on your new clothes. Friends, we're all on this journey. How many days does Pastor Frank go, I'm wearing my old clothes today. Driving in the car, somebody cuts me off. Frank, why are you upset? Why are you mad? Stop it. What clothes are you wearing? Oh, Lord, you're right. You know, maybe that person is just having a bad... Yeah. Old clothes, new clothes. I am who I am, and now I'm learning to live who I am. My belief affects my behavior of how I live. There are so many mysteries, brothers and sisters. There are so many mysteries of what Christ has done in your life. And many of these things you will not ever completely understand till you're with Him in glory. With the help of the Holy Spirit, as you begin to say, I'm going to seek heaven and I'm going to start thinking the truths of heaven, the Spirit of God will transform your identity. He will transform your person and your being. This is what's on the heart of the Apostle Paul in the third chapter of Colossians. May these truths be stirred into our lives here today for His glory and in His name. Do I hear an amen? We're going to sing a song called From Whom All Blessings Flow. The blessings of God upon you are unbelievable. And so as the worship team comes up, we're going to sing this song called From Whom All Blessings Flow, because every blessing that's in your life flows from God. I pray that you get what I'm trying. Lord, I'm sorry. I couldn't give this. I as a mere mortal, can I possibly teach the truths of Colossians 3? God, only you could do this. But Lord, I lift before you this message. I pray my brothers and sisters in here would be spurred to understand the deeper truths of who Christ is and who they are in Him. Jesus, help us in this room to go deep, to be rooted in Jesus, who is our life. Jesus, help us, God, to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us, Jesus, to understand what you've done for us when you came to earth at Christmas and when you hung on a cross at Easter. Help us, Jesus, transform our hearts and our lives. God, keep us from the evil one and sanctify us in truth. Truth about who you are and truth about who we are as children of God. Lord, help us this morning. Help us this day. We pray for your glory and for your kingdom. Amen.